What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not keeping the matter in our heart. We're talking about it. Today, we're going to talk about this warning about children on social media. Not children participating in social media, but passively parents and, quite frankly, other adults putting images and video of children on social media. First off, folks, it's gross to commodify your children. In this age of dehumanization, it's in vogue, it seems, for parents, and it's mostly women. There are some men out there doing it, but it's mostly women who are attention-seeking, and they are, it seems, to be living vicariously through their children. And the really dirty thing is sometimes it's these women living vicariously through their daughters. And they're dressing them up like little adults. They're letting them dance. They're letting them twirl. They're showing videos and pictures of them. And they're just not thinking. And I've got a video for us today that ought to make you sick to your stomach. Now, am I in this podcast saying that you're a bad parent if you have ever put videos or pictures of your children on social media? I am not, but I know that in the book of Hebrews, there's a passage of scripture that has an interesting principle entombed in it. In fact, let's get it. Let's Hebrews chapter 5. Listen to this. "For everyone that useth milk," this is 13 and 14, "everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." Now listen, this is the point of interest. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Folks, you cannot walk around in this world and be naive. You cannot walk around in this world with blinkers on, only looking forward and not thinking about what's off the beaten path. You cannot walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You can fear no evil because God is with us. The shepherd is with us. But we have to follow the shepherd and do what the shepherd says to do. And one of the things the shepherd says to do is we are to walk circumspectly, circular, spectly, looking. We got to look around. We got to keep our head on a swivel. We have to be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. And we need to protect our own. We need to protect the most vulnerable among us, which is our children. And it's just gross. And you can tell, look, give me three bullet points that I can check off to judge whether or not somebody is just putting an innocent picture up or they're trying to make merchandise off of their children. I can't do that. Because you'll know it when you see it. And I don't need to get off the subject ranting so much. I've actually got a show map that I've got outlined here that I want to walk us through, because this is so it evokes a visceral emotional response, and it should. And anyway, I've got a video for us to watch. We're going to watch this video. I'm going to let it play in its entirety, and then we're going to talk about some of the things that we can do to guard against this. That's right. Just because you don't look at others with a predatory eye does not mean someone else doesn't. Yes. And Diana Harden says, "So glad you're speaking on this. Thank you so much." Terry Crooks, good morning. B gave us two hearts. Good morning to you. Thank you for being here. And I would point your attention to the link in the comments section. I dropped a link in the comment section from a video that Aaron Dotson did where he reviewed the Apologetics Press personal size study Bible. It's this Apologetics Press Defending the Faith Personal Carry Edition. Introducing the new AP Defending the Faith Bible Personal Carry Edition, New King James Version. This new, smaller Bible contains both the Old and the New Testaments, as well as brief summaries of each book of the Bible, full-color maps, and about 80 pages of commentary. Y'all, it's a good Bible. And incidentally, for $14 for a single copy, it certainly is inexpensive enough, but if you order 30 or more, you get them for $7. And you can choose a soft, flexi-soft, kind of a leather-like. It's not leather, but it's flexi-soft. It's a nice cover, or you can choose a hardback. I'm not so sure whether I wouldn't want to get another box of them for up here and get them in hardback and just have them for the auditorium. Anyway, but check that out. It's a really good video that he did, and it really showcases the Bible well, and he did a good job. Candrace? I can't pronounce that name. Grant, good morning. This is an episode I need to listen to later while not in the presence of my children. Okay. I don't think that I will give a warning before I say anything that I think you need to have your children cover their ears. I'm not going to be graphic. I'm trying to think, because even if it's not graphic, there's certain things you don't want your children listening to. I don't think I'm going to be, I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine. I absolutely appreciate the comment, because, you know, if we're talking about the state of the world and sin and how Christianity can help, we're going to have to, from time to time, talk about some pretty brutal stuff and use pretty brutal words and stuff to describe it. But I don't think that's one of these podcasts. So just listen, because my judgment may be different than your judgment, okay? Just fair warning. But I don't think that I'm going to be saying anything that your children can't hear, okay? Thank you, Candrace. That the L was really throwing me off. Candrace, that makes so much difference. I mean, so that makes so much sense. Knowing that the L is silence makes so much difference. So, Candrace, I'm about to play a video. In fact, I need to get my cans on so I can make sure it's coming through. This woman describes stuff that is going on, but she doesn't get graphic. So just, again, head on a swivel. Well, that's about all I'm going to say about that. Just for fair warning, all right? I need to get the overlay off. Bear with me. Okay. Here it is, and it's ready to go. I think the volume is good. In fact, I'll raise the volume just a little bit. You might not even be able to discern that I've raised the volume. So this woman, just listen to her. I'm going to let this video play in its entirety. It's not that long. And then I'm going to go back and we'll talk about it. And we'll get into the meat of the show.
Yesterday, I posted a video on how pedophiles who can't access child porn will use children's influencer accounts on social media. And these accounts are knowingly run by parents, usually mothers. I've seen a lot of comments where people are very disturbed by specific mom influencer accounts. So I checked out one account in particular, and I looked at the content and how many saves there were. So if the little girl was doing something innocent, not a lot of saves. If the little girl was doing something that could be seen as sexualized, it was shocking. The little girl with an adult, 400 saves. Shaking her hips while wearing a skirt, 6,000 saves. Does it again, 7,000 saves. Does it again, 8,000 saves. Sitting in a chair, 12,000 saves. Sucking on a straw, eating a turkey leg, eating a kebab, and then licking a straw, 20,000 saves. Sucking on a straw, 50,000 saves. Changing her eye color and almost looking seductive and older, 300,000 saves. When you post videos on social media, you can see when people start watching the video and when they stop. You can also see at what point during the video they choose to like and save it.
So yeah, that's, are you sick? Does that not sicken you? And here's the thing. People with that predilection for young children, they seek these things out. And there are creators on TikTok that is trying to bring awareness to this. And of course, they're being treated like Chicken Little with the falling sky. If you'll remember the story about Chicken Little, nobody believed him, but there was actually something to be concerned about. There's also something called the Cassandra syndrome. Now that I have done something. I hope we're still here. Okay, good deal. Nope. I want you to shut that down. My bad. I had Windows and stuff pop. I hit a button that launched Windows everywhere. All right, bear with me. Let me get this Cassandra. The syndrome of Cassandra. Hold on a second. Let me open this up. Well, I just need the, I don't need the site news. Hold on. Bear with me, guys. I'm kind of on a, what is Cassandra disorder? Here it is. Cassandra's life was never the same after she rejected Apollo, which is a Greek god. Despite Cassandra's foresight, so Apollo gifted her miraculous prophetic vision. But despite her foresight, the truth she told was never accepted. Cassandra syndrome is a term that describes the emotional and psychological distress. Oh, wow. That a neurodivergent experiences whenever they try to explain themselves to a neurodiverse individual. That is true, but hold on a second. The idea is this. Oh, here it is, right here. We'll use the Wikipedia. The Cassandra metaphor, labeled Cassandra syndrome, complex phenomenon, predicament, dilemma, curse, whatever, relates to a person whose valid warnings or concerns are disbelieved by others. In other words, you have a group of people on TikTok, these women, and incidentally some men. There's one man on TikTok that he has an account, and he was in law enforcement for a long time, and his specialty was finding missing and exploited children. And he says, after doing this for 30, 40 years, whatever it is, he said, here's some things that I would never do. One is post any pictures whatsoever on the internet of my children. He said, I just wouldn't do it. I'd share those, find a way to share them privately, you know, have a digital cloud with your family having access. If you know, if you live away from your family of origin, and the only way they can see pictures of you, the only way they can get to know your children and see your children is by showing them pictures, then have a place for that off of social media. But he said one of the biggest tools that people use to exploit children and to prey on children and to get their perverse fulfillment is social media when it comes to children. And again, these sexual predators that have no access, in other words, maybe they've been caught and they're on a registry and they live in a town and everybody knows who they are, so they're socially ostracized. They can hardly go out in public where people don't stone them. So the way they go back, The way they fulfill their desire is they go to social media. They go to TikTok. They go to Facebook. They go to Instagram. Instagram and TikTok are the two worst ones. Especially Snapchat is egregious because Snapchat, people have a false sense of security because those Snapchats that you put out on Snapchat, they're temporary. So folks think the pictures out in the internet are temporary. Therefore, they will put stuff that's more risque. And I know that makes you sick to your stomach to think about it, but think about the innocence of it. You're a mama of a 9-year-old little girl, and she just gets out of the shower, and she's in a pair of underwear with, you know, maybe nothing on top, and she's dancing, and you take a short 3-second video from behind, and that should be innocent. There should be nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And if you want to send that to your husband, if you want to send that to your mother or something like that, and see that little girl doing something silly like that, I suppose there's nothing, I mean, from a man's perspective, like that would be really weird to me, but I'm trying to be very charitable here. But the problem is they'll put it on, now they wouldn't, that mama wouldn't put anything like that on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, but she'll put it up on her Snapchat because, well, it's out there and it's temporary. But the problem is it's not temporary. Folk think that it is, but it's not. And people who have those particular predilections towards children, they farm Snapchat as well. Caleb House finds and helps missing children that the law can't find. They are almost always children in foster care. They find the same ones over and over again. Yeah. Oh, that makes you sick. That makes you sick. So let me get in here to my show notes. The show map. Incidentally, we would love for you to help us out monetarily and support the show. If you like what we do, shoot us a PayPal or sign up on Substack for $5 a month. Let me go in here and put the overlay back up so you can see all of our stuff. All right. So I think we've discussed how digital and social media landscapes can really be a difficult place. We need to apply biblical wisdom in these areas. Remember, Hebrew. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 carries with it the idea of we have to devote our minds and exercise our minds to discern good and evil. Don't be naive. It is great if you see the best in everybody. You should. It is great if you're not jaded. You shouldn't be. But you also need to, again, you need to have your head on a swivel. You need to learn to discern good and evil. You need to be real about the evil that's in the world. And again, I hate to say it, most of it is women. And I don't know what the social ramifications, I don't know what that means. I know what the social ramifications are. I don't know what the significance of that is. I have a feeling I know, but if I explain it too deeply, I'm afraid that as a 46-year-old male, I'll come off as a little misogynistic. Because it's not all women, and there's a passage of Scripture in the Bible we're going to look at, and we're going to really drive that point home. It's not, all of these accounts, it is the vast majority of them, like 90% of them, are women. But I don't think the women part is the golden thread that makes them all common. I think it's a trait, not woman, because there are women that do not do that. There are women who absolutely head on a swivel. I'm not going to do anything that exposes my children or anything like that. And they are not a few. They are many. So I don't think I think it's lazy to say, well, you know, all of these accounts are women, so the women are bad. No, it's a different trait, and we're going to see the trait. All right. So we've looked at this woman, and I understand this is anecdotal, but if you look at the idea of social media and how it affects our lives, we're tethered together in a way that I don't think we've ever been meant to be tethered, but in some ways we're also more separate. But think about it. How many homes where the daddy's 25, the mama's 22, and they have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, how many families eat one meal together at a dinner table once per day? Very few. I think social media has done that. And there's a plethora of reasons. It's not just one reason, but social media has done that. It's given us the false sense of being closer, while actually we're more isolated now than we've ever been. Hello, Connie Barden. It sure is good to see you. All right. So let's talk about the digital landscapes and its challenges. Social media has become ubiquitous. You cannot function in this world today without social media. I did not have social media until it was 2015. And the only reason I got social media is for quote-unquote digital evangelism. I don't care about social media. In fact, before I went to the Memphis School of Preaching, I was 100% convinced that it was an absolute violation of God's law to have social media. Now, I don't believe that anymore. But my end result has remained the same. In eternity, hell is going to be littered with otherwise faithful people who fell because of social media. We need to understand, with all of the stories that are in the news, with all of the access to this information that we have, with all of the anecdotes that you have at your fingertips, we need to understand and be real with exactly how the world works. Remember, it shouldn't be that way. We don't deal as people who live in the real world. We don't deal with should and should nots. We operate within the boundaries of is and is not. It shouldn't be the case that you are inviting pedophiles to come look at your children when you post your children online. And here's the problem. And I really like this comment. Hold on. Let me get to the chat. I'll find it. There was somebody that said, just because you don't look at it that way doesn't mean others don't. Where is that? Right here. Hey, Alabama says, just because you don't look at others with a predatory eye does not mean that someone else doesn't. As a mother that is putting content on TikTok, well, and as a father, but again, this is pervasive amongst mothers. As a mother who's putting content on TikTok and you're incorporating your children, you need to think, and you need to be able to, and the problem is it's disgusting to be like that. But it's like, if I'm going to put this picture of my daughter on social media, is she mimicking something that she's seen an adult do, and so it looks provocative? Because I'm telling you, it's going to attract the wrong kind of attention. Just like if you have a 16 or 17-year-old daughter and you look at the way she's dressed and you can put your mind into the mind of a teenage boy and you can say, honey, you need to go back up there and change your clothes. Well, why? Well, because you're dressed provocatively. Well, what do you mean I'm dressed provocatively? Little boys are really going to have trouble with what you're wearing. Okay, so you just teach your daughter how to dress modestly. Now, this sounds one-sided. Men follow all the same, and I shouldn't even have to say this. I really shouldn't, but the problem is whenever you say anything about one side of the sexual dichotomy, one side always says, well, what about the other? And the other side says, you're right, we need to do better. Well, what about men? Men follow all the same rules of modesty and everything as well, but women are not provoked or incensed by what they see. Men are. So men don't have to worry so much about how they look. They need to worry about how they act, but women need to worry about how they act too. But when it comes to provocation, when it comes to modesty and shamefacedness, women more so have to worry about how they look. Because men are visual creatures. You don't like it? Take it up with God. He designed it that way. Now, the point I'm making is as icky as it feels, as a parent, you got to teach your child this from a very, very young age. Very young. And I just saw a comment I wanted to get where somebody was talking about even how they dressed a baby. Where is it at? Even dressing my infant daughters, I made sure they were properly dressed and made sure their bottoms were covered. Same for my boys. I dressed them the way I would want to dress them as young adults. Well, that is such a novel idea. How in the world did you ever come, you know, and I'm being very, very sarcastic. How in the world did you ever come up with that? That's so profound. Somebody must have taught you that. And of course, as sarcastic as I'm being, hey, Alabama, you may come back with, well, yeah, dummy, the Bible taught me that. And my response would be, yes, ma'am, you're correct. Anyway. Connie Barden says, mothers are posting their very young girls in provocative postures. They think it's cute. Yes. And again, I don't think necessarily the mothers are nefarious. They're just naive. They're silly. They're silly women who have been led away captive. And we're going to talk about that passage of Scripture and what that means, because it sounds very offensive on the surface, but it's not. The King James uses the word silly, and I don't think the common thread is of the problem here is woman. I think the common thread here is the word silly, because as I said, not all women do this. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this stuff was going on in the 80s, too. I was the oddball. Oh, hey, Alabama. There is a documentary about the kids' shows on Netflix. I mean, it is on Netflix, but the kids' shows that were on Nickelodeon. And I remember, I mean, I had my coming of age in the 90s. In 1995, I was 18 years old. No, I wasn't. I was 17 years old. I was 18. No, I didn't. I was born in 1977. However old I was in 1995, I was entering into my adulthood years. Just because I can't do math don't mean that I wasn't either 17 or 18 in 1995. Anyway, the point is this. I noticed, and I was uncomfortable watching Nickelodeon and those kid shows, which were really aimed at, I was a little bit too old for the target audience. Like, I was on the higher side. I was aging out, but I was still part of the target audience. I was close enough for the target demographic. And I was uncomfortable. Like, I knew, like, this dude likes feet. Like, you could tell, like, on Nickelodeon, ever, in any chance to, yeah, it was just nasty. And like I say, and you're right, and talking about Cassandra phenomenon, the Cassandra curse or whatever, when you try to tell people that, they just like, no, that's not, you're just a pervert. Like, no, I'm not. I mean, are you not seeing what I'm seeing? Well, yes, they're just naive. And for instance, and here's Hey Alabama, here's a really good anecdote. Whenever the movie Frozen came out, now of course this was much later, this was around 2015 or so, 2014, 2013, somewhere along in there. Whenever the movie Frozen came out, I was telling people, like, look, the reason Frozen came out is because it breaks the archetypal story model of a damsel in distress and a hero slaying a dragon and saving the damsel. This story is bad for society. And I said, another thing that it does, you know, the story erodes the core tenets of Western culture. And one of the most terrible things it does is optically it normalizes a female-female relationship. And you know what people told me? Well, that's just silly. You know they're sisters, right? I do know they're sisters, but you need to exercise your senses to be able to discern good and evil and understand that at Walt Disney World, whenever your little three-year-old girl is with you, she sees Jasmine and her prince, Belle and her prince, Tiana and her prince, she sees Beauty, that's Belle, hold on, Aurora and Prince Charming, and then she sees these two girls. It doesn't matter to the three-year-old girl if those two girls are brother and sister, they're up there in the princess lineup. And the optics are normal. People forget how powerful optics are. The optics are normalizing same-sex relationships. No, Tony, you're just, that's dumb. You're silly. That's perverted. I don't even know why you would think that. Then lo and behold, one of the higher-ups at Disney comes out in a press conference bragging about normalizing same-sex relationships through Anna and Elsa from Frozen. All of the people that called me stupid, they never have apologized for that. That's it. Girls should be careful how they dress. I remember a Bible class teacher at the Baptist church I attended when I was 15 or so saying that girls have no idea how early boys start thinking about girls, as early as 8 to 10. And girls should be careful how they dressed. Absolutely. And that's not a bad thing. I disagree with excuse me. You see how one word can really cause a mess. I agree with Hey Alabama. I even changed my kids' diapers in private because even in the church nursery, teens, girls and boys, were hanging out in the nursery around the changing table to see the babies get their diapers changed. Babies are innocent and they deserve their privacy too. There is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. None whatsoever. All right. So, again, we've talked about this digital landscape and its challenges. Look, social media is ubiquitous. You can't live in this world without social media, but we better be careful how we operate on it. Because if we don't operate correctly, we're opening ourselves up to a lot of liability and making ourselves vulnerable to a lot of problems. I mean, a lot. All right. I am going to go to the captions, and I'm going to put up the tip jar. Boom. And, yeah, we would love for you. You can send us a PayPal. Every dollar that you send, whether it's through Substack, near churches, Buy Me a Coffee, which we don't do much with that anymore, and Patreon, we don't do anything with that anymore. But all of those things are still active, and I believe they're in the show notes. Every dollar goes into advertising, so thank you so much for that. You're really helping us grow the brand. Incidentally, we're above 500 subscribers now on YouTube. That is amazing to me. I never thought we'd get there. All right, so social media, ubiquitous. Got to be careful how we act on it, but it's just like how we act in the world. The problem is, I believe, there's a separation on our minds, and we don't think social media is real life. Now, there's a sense in which it's different, but just like what we do in the body affects us metaphysically, what we do on Facebook affects us in the real world, in the quote-unquote real world. Absolutely. Hey, hey, Alabama, that's amazing. Which means we got like 205 in the entire stream. I have quit focusing on Facebook. I just don't think Facebook plays nicely, so we don't focus on Facebook anymore. It's just the stream is there on Facebook if you want to consume it on Facebook. But we'd rather everybody do it on YouTube. Thank you so much, Diana Harden. Connie Barden, one of the problems is because girls aren't told why and how to dress. Pardon me. One of the problems is because girls aren't told why how they dress is important. When I was young, I thought, what difference does it make if some skin is showing? It needs to be explained to young girls so they understand how it affects males of all ages. Yes, and this gets back. Oh, cool. Now it says 215. Usually YouTube won't show how many are actually watching. Cool. All right. So there may be more than watching that's actually cool. All right. So back to Connie's comments, wonderful comment. And you hit on something. Well, first off, I'm a little excited. Let me calm down. Very long ago, my wife and I were counselors at this church camp, and they have a rule about no tank tops for the boys or the girls. Now, it's in northwest Arkansas, and it's 197 degrees whenever this church camp goes on. It would be much more comfortable if we could all run around naked as jaybirds. But we have to dress the way the Bible tells us to dress. And we need tank tops, or we want tank tops, but we didn't get to wear tank tops because the rules of the camp was no tank tops. And one of the girls asked another counselor, along with my wife, a camp counselor, well, why can't we wear tank tops? This Christian woman, who had been a Christian longer than my wife had been alive, said, because that's the rules. My wife got a copy of God's Word and said, that is not why we don't wear tank tops. We don't wear tank tops because of God's Word. And she had a Bible study with that young woman. And it may be that the young woman was not convinced. And the young woman may not dress modestly to this day. That was like 6 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. Well, it is the case that she may dress immodestly now, but she was at least outfitted. She wasn't just told, well, that's the rules. No, you, as Connie said, you got to know why. And now that the second thing, when it comes to modesty, we've colloquialized it and we interchanged modesty for, as long as you're not showing skin, you're modest. What about leggings? What about skinny jeans and jeans that are too tight and jeans that show the contour of the butt cheek and jeans that show and shirts that are tight across the chest and show the pectoral muscles or the fatty tissue that women have around the pectoral muscles. You see, this works for both men and women. Just because you're not showing skin doesn't mean you're not dressing provocatively. And it was a problem at preaching school. The preaching students, they had their wives in there with them, and some of them just dressed like sluts. Thank you so much, Diana Harden. God is blessing this channel and Tony's work. Well, it's God's blessing me through y'all. I appreciate it. All right. Now, what's the remedy? Well, we walk circumspectly. We got to have our head on a swivel. Remember, we have to be intentional about what we do. One of the things that one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, that's self-control. Christians should be temperate in all things. We need to be intentional in our posting. Before you post that video, before you post that picture, and again, you can't just hide in your bedroom or the basement and never come out because somebody might take offense to something or somebody might sexualize you or something like that. Look, ladies, this is to the ladies. If you walked around in a burlap sack with a shaved head and a burlap sack covering you from your neck to your ankles all the way down to your wrist, there is some perverted person somewhere that would objectify and sexualize you. So, I mean, like, you can't just hide in the basement. Okay? There's a point at which you have done everything that is reasonable, and if somebody thinks bad thoughts, hey, that's just on them, they're going to stand or fall before God. Okay? But that doesn't mean because of that we don't do anything to mitigate the issue. So that's why we are intentional whenever we make posts, especially that involve our children. We're intentional when we put pictures of ourselves out there. And again, this is more so an issue for women than it is men. Think about the idea of being as wise as doves, as wise as serpents rather, but as harmless as doves. This metaphor of being as wise as serpents and harmless as doves from Scripture, it comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So this wisdom includes a discerning approach to what is shared online. It's just knowing everything, like just understanding how the world works. Just be honest with how the world works and how the world is. And live accordingly. Again, that goes back to walking circumspectly. You can't walk circumspectly. You can't keep your head on a swivel and look around if you're not as wise as serpents, if you're not prudent to be able to discern what you're seeing. And how do we do that? Well, think about the little rhyme. Touch your head. Or wait. Stand up and raise your hands and then touch your toes. And then if any... What's that? Raise your hands and touch your toes. And pay attention to what shows or something. Anyway, just make sure you're covered up. Make sure, and again, ladies, I want you to think about this. When you go to purchase clothes, or when you take your daughter to purchase clothes, and she wants to purchase this pair of jeans, ask her why. She says, well, I think it really makes my behind look good. Look good for what? And whom? Why are you wanting a pair of clothes that makes your behind look good as a man or a woman? K. Candrice, I've noticed that many of the newer Disney movies with heroines are moving away from having a prince rescuing them. It's almost like a we don't need a man agenda. Candrice, it ain't almost like. It is. And actually, before I read that out loud, I read it with this tone because I use this all the time. It's almost like we don't need a man agenda. Dads need to be telling their daughters how they look to other men. You've got it. That's it, Candrice. Raise your hands, touch your toes. If anything shows, go change your clothes. Do you know how beautiful a woman is who's wearing a shirt that's buttoned up to the neck? She's got some poofy sleeves, and I know I'm describing a woman from 1880, okay? I get it. But you know how beautiful a woman looks whenever she's got a shirt, a blouse that's buttoned up to her neck. She's got poofy sleeves that are buttoned at the wrist, and she's her blouse, and it's got a little vest, and it's kind of gathered at the waist some. But it's still kind of flowy and loose. Not flowy, but it's kind of loose. But then you have that A-frame skirt. Now, I know not everybody looks good in an A-frame. I'm married. I don't swing for the other team. But I've noticed this. And because I've studied about modesty, I've looked at places that sell modest clothing for young people. But these A-frame dresses that kind of go, like, kind of start at the waist and come out, and they're flowy and they're pleated, and look, that's modest. And if you and the beautiful thing is, and I don't think women understand this, especially young women, if you dressed with modesty and shamefacedness, you are so much more open to have people compliment you on your beauty. Because let me tell you something. As a 46-year-old man, I would never tip my hat to a lady and say, "Ma'am, it's good to see you. You surely are very beautiful. You're looking very beautiful today." I would not tell her that if she's wearing something that's immodest, that shows her breast or is tight around her derriere or anything like that, because she's advertising the naughty bits to be sexually provocative. And so that provoked a response. And by me saying you're beautiful, it's me commenting on her beauty sexually. Folks, the beauty that comes from sexuality fades. The beauty that comes from who you are and how you present yourself and your poise and your posture and your elegance. Why, I have seen some women in their 90s that are stunningly gorgeous. It has nothing to do with sex. And Candrice, I hope using that word this often hasn't. I hope we're still kid friendly. All right. A friend and her employer tell her he was appreciative of her for wearing modest clothing to work. He sometime had to send home to change clothes. Yeah. I guarantee it. All right. Let's talk about the pitfalls of vanity on social media. Let's go to 2 Timothy, and we're going to finish this in right at an hour. All right, 2 Timothy. Where is 2 Timothy? Right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to this. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Folks, everything that was just said here is promoted on social media. Think about false accusers. Let me go to my trusty, rusty e-sword, and I want to do 2 Timothy 3. Where am I at here? 2 Timothy 3, and then 3. High-minded lovers of pleasure. No, where is that word incontinent? It is in verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3, incontinent. It's only used one time, and it's without self-control. One time, akratase, and it's negative, ak, but then the root word is force, strength, mighty, with great power, dominion. They don't have any self-control. They don't have any dominion over self is the idea. Incontinent. Facebook promotes all that, folks. Facebook, social media in general. But listen to this. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different types of desires, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what is this idea of silly women? All right, well, let's take a look at it. For this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women. All right? So the word is, I can't pronounce this, gunai karyon. It's used contemptuously. All right? A little woman, a trifling, weak woman. It's only used one time in Scripture. The root word is woman, okay? What does this mean? It's the women who were led astray by the people that were just described by Peter are women who are empty, women who are vain, women who adorn themselves with, not with good works, but with gold and plaited hair, jewelry, makeup. They find their worth in externalities, not internalities. They find their worth by what somebody says of them. And that is the reason these are the same silly women that are what this video that I shared today talked about these women making TikTok accounts of them and their children, usually them and their daughter, and their and the woman is living vicariously through the daughter, getting all of the external validation from other people. The problem is she doesn't have a man in her life strong enough to set her straight and put his foot down and say, "You're not doing this because you're exploiting our children. And I don't care why you're doing it. I'm only interested in the outcome." And look at what's going on with our daughter. We've got 12, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 30, 31, 30, 33, 53, 103. We have almost 500,000 saves of our little girl. Why do you think these people are saving? And when it's saved, folks, with TikTok, you long press and it downloads to your phone. How do you think I got this video? what these women need to do is get off of Facebook and get to church. They need to get off of Facebook and they need to get on their knees and pray to God. They need to go to church. They need to get with their husbands and say, hey, you know, we need to do better. And we need to do it better as a society. And quite frankly, and this is the problem, because there's absolutely no accountability in this society for women. There needs to be an accountability. But the problem is our society shields these quote-unquote silly women. I don't know what the solution is, but Jesus. I'm not even being funny about that. We gotta convert people to Christianity. Now, my problem is, and what I'm really scared of, is as some I believe it was Connie said earlier about women doing this. You know, a lot of them are in the church, and they just don't know. That's it. If anything shows, go change your clothes. So I want to provide us with actionable advice for protecting our families online. Stop posting pictures of your children. Even if you think they're innocent, the pictures themselves, the children are innocent, but if you think the pictures are innocent, try, as sickening as it is, look at them through the eyes of somebody who would be a predator. It's not good, folks. Maybe start by if you post pictures of your children on Facebook, set the privacy to only your very close friends. Because I understand you want to use Facebook to pictorially share your life with people that are not in your vicinity. I get that. Set your privacy to only a select few people that you trust. If you have pictures, look, from the years that we did Camp Dakota, I've got 1,000 or more pictures stored where I took pictures at camp. I don't ever, what I'll do is sometimes if it comes up in my memory, like my phone will say, you know, here's what you were doing this day, and it's a picture of me at camp with a bunch of youngins. Sometimes I send the pictures privately to the parents of the children, and I'll say, hey, you know, on my iPhone back from 2015, and yes, I've still got pictures from 2015, this came up. All right? But I don't ever put them online without asking. That's just wrong. So, again, we have probably had about 3 generations of failure of older women to teach younger women. So now it falls to anybody that's able to have the courage to get out there and preach the truth about this needs to do it, even if it's a 46-year-old man. And I understand it might not be received well coming from me. So all of you ladies that are listening to this, be the voice. Be the voice. I want you ladies to be the voice and teach this, and let's affect large change. Folks, I am so happy that all of you have tuned in. Remember, that's all I've got. That's all I've got for us today. Nearchurches@gmail.com is the PayPal. Substack, send us $5 a month. Or make sure you get a free subscription if you don't do anything else. And go to that article that I shared, or go to that video that I shared from our YouTube channel, and watch Aaron Dotson's video on the Apologetics Press Bible. We're not sponsored by them. Nobody for there asked us. We didn't even get their permission. We just did it. Anyway, that's all I've got. Thank you so much. God bless every one of you. Remember, subscribe, share. We want to get that YouTube up to 1,000 subscribers, but now that we're 500 subscribers, we need 3,000 watch time hours. So go watch these videos. Just turn them on in the background. Let them play. Man, it'd be awesome. Anyway, God bless every one of you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. You can find the Cogitations podcast archive on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. God bless you. We'll catch you on the flip side.